We gather this morning to examine, once again, the condition of our nation's physical infrastructure and proposals that are needed to make improvements in it. When the committee last gathered to examine this critical issue, we considered the perspectives from individuals who held expertise in public and private financing, civil engineering, labor, and business. They were unanimous in voicing compelling support for increased investment in our nation's infrastructure and for the need to develop and implement alternative ways to finance this critically important investment in our nation's future. Today, we consider the local perspective on our nation's infrastructure, and we'll hear from individuals who are most qualified to offer that critical perspective, our nation's mayors. We are fortunate to have before us a distinguished panel of leaders who represent cities from different regions of our nation, who hold different political affiliations, and who face different challenges in their communities. But what they share in common is far more important than what differentiates them. These mayors, like their colleagues across the nation, bear the lion's share of responsibility for maintaining the roads, bridges, mass transit systems, drinking water systems, wastewater removal systems, and other vital components of our national structures. The Federal Highway Administration reports that out of the 4 million miles of roads in our nation, over 3 million miles are owned by counties, cities, and towns. Local governments maintain almost 60% of our nation's 54,000 drinking water systems and 98% of the 16,000 wastewater systems in the country. Our counties and cities, towns also have a frontline perspective on what happens when the needs of our infrastructures go unmet. Just got a couple of photographs to illustrate the point here. Obviously, we all remember last summer in August in Minneapolis, the collapse that afternoon of the bridge, the loss of lives, and the national attention it drew to the condition of our highway systems. And then the second photograph, Mayor, you'll be familiar with this one, Mayor Bloomberg, the New York City steam pipe explosion that caused a great disruption in the city. Again, a further example of what's happened. When the bridge collapsed in Minneapolis, Mayor Ryback was among the first to respond. When the steam pipe exploded in New York City, Mayor Bloomberg was among the first to respond. And when the Mianus River Bridge collapsed in my home state of Connecticut in 1983, I know that several mayors in Fairfield County joined state officials in responding to that tragedy. Here in Washington, we may cite alarming statistics like the 14,000 Americans who die each year, at least in part because of crumbling roads and bridges, the over 5,500 Americans who are sickened each year from some of the 850 billion gallons of storm water and raw sewage left untreated by obsolete wastewater systems, or the average American who wastes 1.5 hours a year, if you will, in traffic congestion. 51.5 hours a year in traffic congestion. However, our mayors see these alarming statistics as more than just numbers on a piece of paper. They witness how these statistics play out each and every day in their communities and the people who are affected by them. They personally console individuals and loved ones in road accidents caused by poorly engineered highways or collapsed bridges. They personally connect with individuals who are sickened by an overburdened drinking water system or wastewater system. And they experience the devastating economic effects when jobs are lost because the infrastructure in their communities cannot provide for effective movement of people, goods, and information. There is no question that the mayors are acutely aware of our nation's enormous, immediate, and unmet infrastructure needs. In fact, this awareness has already translated into meaningful action. I want to commend recent and comprehensive efforts undertaken by state and local governments to raise the awareness of our infrastructure needs nationwide. Efforts such as Building America's Future, which Mayor Bloomberg has undertaken with Governor Rendell and Schwarzenegger, are certainly well known to most Americans. The American Society of Engineers estimates that an investment of $1.6 trillion over 5 years is required just to bring our current infrastructure to an acceptable level. That translates into $320 billion a year, just to upgrade existing structures to serve the needs of our nation. As we face the prospect of significant long-term budget deficits, a weakening economy, decreasing tax revenues, and increasing unemployment, it is clear that the current ways by which we invest in our nation's infrastructure have become as obsolete as many of the infrastructure systems themselves. We must, I think, forge a strong partnership between federal, state, and local governments to explore other creative and fiscally responsible ideas that protect Americans to keep our economy as strong as possible. We also cannot afford to delay. I believe the cost of meeting our infrastructure needs is great, but the cost of failing to meet them is even greater and will grow every day. That is why, along with my colleague from Nebraska, Senator Chuck Hagel, who's here with us this morning, and a variety of other people, have proposed creating a national infrastructure bank to help us meet these challenges. The bank would mark the first federal effort to prioritize infrastructure projects across different modes of transportation and water treatment. It would be the first federal program to rate these different infrastructure projects on the basis of merit and to invest in projects based on their merit. And by focusing on projects of regional and national significance, the bank would help us meet some of the largest challenges that we are confronted with. This proposal will not solve all of our problems, obviously, but we believe that it will go a long way to addressing many of the concerns that we've heard from our witnesses, as we will today and those who appeared prior to today. And I'll continue to work, obviously, with my colleague from Alabama, Senator Shelby, and other members of this committee to find that common ground that I hope we can and will be able to move this legislation forward. My hope would be even this Congress. I do not know an exact timetable. As you know, we're very busy working on legislation to address the housing issues in our country, but I do hope that we can move a bill through this committee, possibly in a timely fashion. I appreciate, obviously, the willingness of our witnesses to share their insights with the committee today. We look forward to your testimony.